Growing up, my younger brother had a pet hamster who lived in our basement. He was a quiet pet, often sleeping most of the day, but in the evenings we'd hear interesting noises coming from his cage. I remember going into the room and finding him on his wheel, spinning round and round and round. His short little legs were frantically moving as fast as they could go, but he was getting nowhere. I feel like that hamster sometimes. Times when I've allowed myself to get too busy and suddenly notice there are deficits in areas of my life that matter a lot to me. I'm not laughing enough, not reading enough, not being grateful enough, not connecting with friends and family, not sleeping enough, not walking in nature enough, not praying, not journaling, not leaving my work at the office, not caring for my body, not taking time to be still enough, not filling my mind with truth, not saying no enough, not letting God rule my life. I'm too busy, but I'm busy doing good things, important things, spiritual things, and yeah, sometimes time waster things like letting my iPad rule me. I'm busy, but I'm also hurried, empty, dry, tired, irritable, overwhelmed, anxious, undisciplined, lonely, driven. Sometimes I'm fighting a cold. I remember the words of Jesus, "What would profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?" Or in the Message, "What good would it do you to get everything and lose the real you?" To lose my soul means I no longer have a healthy center that organizes and guides my life. Your soul, according to John Ortberg, is what integrates your will, that's your intentions, your mind, which is your thoughts, feelings, your values and conscience, and your body, your face, your body language and actions, all into a single life. A soul that's healthy or well-ordered is one where there's harmony between these three entities and God's intent for all of creation. When you're connected with God and other people in life, you have a healthy soul. I'm pretty sure you can identify with my wheel spinning when I neglect the integration Ortberg describes. Our stories are different, but our life struggle is the same. It's hard work to live in our fast-paced world and adequately care for the real you, the soul. How is it done and when? There's no one size fits all, but perhaps the following guidelines will guide you towards better soul care. Guideline number one, give yourself permission to care for your soul. Come to peace with the fact that to care for one's soul is biblical. Remember again the words of Jesus, "What will profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Seems like Jesus thinks paying attention to our souls is pretty important. Think about how Jesus cared for his soul. Look in the Gospels. Here's some things he did. He hung out with friends at weddings and meals. He had time for children. He wept. He engaged with people and then disengaged by going off to meet with his father. He went to the temple. He had close friends. He noticed the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. He worked with his hands. He cared for his soul. Pay attention to his invitation to you. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Getting in the yoke with Jesus requires submission of my will to his. It's a transfer of control. I'm no longer pulling the load alone, but I'm at a place of safety and intimacy, and that is good soul care. When you give yourself permission to care for your soul, you're going to find that you will be more effective in ministry than when you aren't. I remember a young mother who said she's more fun, she's more patient, more kind with her kids when she's taking time to care for her soul. Recently, I had a difficult conversation with a friend. I was tired, preoccupied with other things, and wasn't prayed up. It didn't go well. In a follow-up conversation the next day, the talk went much better. I had rested and prayed. I was ready to talk. As I was preparing for this, I had a text from a doctor friend who said she came home from work overwhelmed with her needs and the needs of her patients. She said, "I prayed, and now She was ready to go back into her work again the next day with a lighter heart and a greater focus on them. Second guideline in caring for your soul is to take time to figure out what refreshes, relaxes, quiets, invigorates, and nourishes your soul. It will include the spiritual activities as well as not so spiritual ones. It will be ordinary things of life. It will be uniquely you. I've kept a running list of things people have shared in soul care discussions that help them. Laughter, tears, music, art, journaling, scripture, prayer, mind renewal, talking, friends, confession, boundaries, margins, Sabbath, self-awareness, gratefulness, cleaning, gardening, organizing, coffee, enjoying creation, sleep, play, worship, exercise, stargazing, self-acceptance, spouse time, walking, running, riding motorcycle, sports, reading, mowing the lawn, family time, working with hands. I'm guessing you could add more. I identify with many of those, but not all of them. Drawing or painting a picture for me is depressing because the end product looks so bad. And I've yet to see a happy runner, and I'm not into riding motorcycle. That's okay, because I'm uniquely me and you're uniquely you. Your list will be different than mine, and that's good. The third soul care guideline is to look for and invest in soul care moments, those minutes, hours, days, weeks, where you can make space in your day for what matters the most, in order to keep it in alignment with God's heart. Think about ways that you could make Sabbath truly a day of rest if it isn't for you. God made Sabbath for man, and we hurt ourselves when we treat it like any other day. Pastors and others who work hard on Sunday should think about finding another day of rest. And along with rest, what would it feel like to take a Sabbath from technology on Sunday? What other things could you fill into that space, relationships and just other kinds of personal soul care that would refresh your soul? Take time for those moments, those days, those spaces. These are some guidelines, but as you incorporate soul care into your life, it's important that you anticipate a lifetime of trial and error. Don't be discouraged with some setbacks. I've been attempting to incorporate soul care into my life for a number of years now, and there's days when I really regress. There's days when I look like that hamster on the wheel, just spinning round and round. Thankfully, it doesn't take me as long to get back on track anymore as it used to, but I'm still learning, I'm still growing, you will too. So yes, anticipate some setbacks, but anticipate as well rest and refreshment, renewal, energy, peace, greater effectiveness in ministry, deeper relationships with your spouse, family, friends, and coworkers. Expect a healthier, happier you, a vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus. You are the keeper of your soul. Take time to keep it in alignment with God's heart.